would, before we get into the word tonight, would you ask the Lord to speak to your heart tonight through the message and draw you closer to Him? Encourage your heart. Would you ask the Lord that? Lord, speak to my heart tonight. Draw me closer to you through your word. Secondly, would you say, Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to tonight, filled with your spirit. Simply means controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Now, if you're trying to sell something to someone, what do you try to point out to someone that you're trying to sell something to? The good qualities, right? For instance, if you're trying to sell a car, you might point out heated seats. How many of you have heated seats and enjoy heated seats? All right. You might point out that this car, now you really want this car because it's got good tires on it. I mean, those tires have only got 20,000 miles on them. I mean, they're almost brand new. They might slam the door and say, listen to how solid this car is, right? They might say, you know, this car gets good mileage. You know, you get this many miles per gallon around town. And they might start it and say, let's listen to that engine purr. And then this is the one that really gets you. This car was owned previously by a little old lady that only drove it to church on Sunday morning. But you point out the good qualities or the good characteristics of a car. Tonight we're going to point out the good qualities or characteristics of prayer. Prayer. Now I'm not trying to sell prayer to you, of course. As a child of God, you already got it. You own it. But I am trying to sell, if you will, it's not the best terminology, but sell the idea that we need to pray more. That we need to spend more time before the Lord. Now, you're going to find in this sermon tonight a really, really, really good definition of what prayer is. So I hope your ears are perked up and you're paying attention. You know, the devil loves to distract us, right? And I'm as bad as anybody. Of course, I can't be too distracted because I'm the one speaking. Or else, who knows where I might go with that. But I've not always been behind the pulpit. I've been in the pew quite a bit in my life. And it's easy to get something on your brain. But I'd encourage, just focus on what God has for us. Some great things about prayer. Now, it's in Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Now, Men's Fellowship there just a while back, it's going to be different, but it's the same chapter. I had a devotion, and I apologize to Jason and Ken and John because they were there, but it is going to be different. It's the same chapter. There may be some similar thoughts, but it is a totally different outline, totally different thought from this. Psalm 62. Let me tell you how God used this chapter in my life. I don't usually recommend this, okay? But I was kind of going through something kind of difficult, and I noticed the best I remember there where I read my Bible, and it's at the kitchen table there in Doddridge County, my Bible was open, and it was open to Psalm 62. Now, like I said, I don't normally say this is the best way to do it because God normally speaks to us when we're doing our regular reading. Maybe we're reading a proverb a day. Maybe we're reading to the book of Matthew, and we're reading a couple chapters a day. But in this case, God used it. I looked down there at Psalm 62, like, okay, I think I'll read that. And boy, God said, hey, I want you to read this because there's a lot of good stuff in this chapter. So, we're going to look at it. It says, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. So, David wrote this, okay? And we're going to learn a fair amount about prayer from this tonight. It kind of makes sense, doesn't it, since we're in prayer meeting? Verse 1, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They appear to be against God, and probably against David as king. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. Remember what Selah means? We talked about this not too far back. Just kind of pause. Think about that. Pause. Pause for just a minute. There is some different ideas on that too, but the one I believe it means is pause. Just think about that for a minute. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Almost what makes you want to break out, and I shall not be moved, right? Verse 7, in God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. There it is again. Selah. Pause and think about that for a minute. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. Tonight, as we look at some great things about prayer. Point number one is the comfort of prayer. The comfort of prayer. Do you know, when you go to God in prayer, who are we praying? In the strictest sense, who are we praying to? We are praying to God the Father. Remember, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is an intercessor, and it also mentions Jesus Christ, the Son, as our intercessor, those that go between us and God. So we can go straight to God in prayer. We have the Holy Spirit taking our prayer to God the Father. We got Jesus Christ taking our prayer. You know, sometimes, to be honest, we're just not quite sure what to pray, right? We're like, well, When you look at some situation or some issue, you're like, man, I'm really not quite sure how to pray, but Lord, I need your help. I really think the Holy Spirit and Jesus the Son grabs that prayer and takes it to Heavenly Father, and they know how to put it. They know how to bring it to the Father, right? But when you go to prayer, we should recognize that this God that we're praying to is our God. He's a personal God. I am so thankful that God is not just some God out there, you know, that wound up the universe, put it in motion, and said, "I'll have at it. You're on your own, folks." And if you look in this psalm, you see my, and then it says, like for instance, it says in verse 1, "My salvation." He says in verse 2, "My rock and my salvation." It says, "My defense." As you go on down there, it says, for my expectation, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. It says he's my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, my refuge. I mean, do you see all those my's in there? It's like when we go to prayer, we ought to be comforted in the fact that we have a God that loves us. We ought to be comforted in the fact that we have a God that wants the best for us. We ought to be encouraged and comforted knowing that we have a God who is all-powerful that can do anything, right? You see, the comfort of prayer, God is my God. And with all those adjectives you want to put with it or descriptive nouns. That's what he is to me. He can do anything. Aren't you glad about that? You know, we're kind of born with this selfish my anyway, remember? That's mine. This is mine. And a lot of people haven't outgrown that. I mean, it's still my way, my opinion, my do. It's better be, or if not, whoo, watch out. But I'm thankful that in this case, my has a meaning to me. It has a comfort to me. When I go to prayer, I can say, my God, I need your help. You are my strength. You are my salvation. Then you go through the whole book of Psalms. So many, I figure, it'd be, I mean, you'd get a big long list if you went through the whole book of Psalms and looked at all the times that the psalmist says, my refuge, my God, my salvation, my strength, my glory. So the comfort of prayer, it's a God who is personal that we're approaching. The second point, the clarity of prayer, the clarity of prayer. You know, when we go to God, we need to make it clear to him that he's who we're leaning on. If you look at these verses, look at verse 2. Little word in there, four-letter word. It's only, only. Notice it says, he only is my rock and my salvation. Do you catch that? Verse 4, talking about the people. I want to comment on this for a moment. Verse 3, there's people against David. And it says, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? They wanted bad things to happen to David. And it says, David calmly says to the Lord in prayer, ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. Have you ever thought about a wall that bows? I mean, it's not going to stand too much longer, right? And when people go against God's people, and when people go against us as Christians, God is saying if they don't straighten up and fly right, it's going to be like a fence that goes boom, right? Say that with me, boom. Okay, that's pretty good. That's not bad. It says they only consult to cast him. They only consult. They're just trying to go against God. They're trying to go against David. Here it says they're lying. It says they bless with their mouth. They curse inwardly. But notice what he says. My soul, wait thou only. There it is again. Upon God. Wait thou only upon God. Verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. You know what a lot of Christians want to do? It's like I have seven different things I go to help me through a problem. I talk to friends. You know, I psych myself up. You know, just whatever the list is. The psalmist, you know what the psalmist, David, has come to the conclusion? It's only God. He's the only one I'm going to lean on. Now, there's nothing wrong with talking to friends and getting encouraged. There's nothing wrong. But he is identified. And see, a lot of Christians are okay with throwing God in the mix. But they're not okay with God being it. You know what I mean? We got to throw God's way in there and what he wants in there. But I'm also going to throw my way in there and my strength. And I'm going to reason this out. Remember, I'm a micromanager, you might say. I do this. I know this. I knew a guy that was an administrator quite a bit in one of the churches I pastored. He made it very clear that he was an expert in administration. That's fine, but we got to be careful that we don't administrate God right out of the picture. The psalmist says very clearly, he only is the one I'm going to. Is he enough? He's everything. I mean, he can handle it. So the clarity in prayer, he says, I'm not going to go to 15 different sources for help. I'm going to God only. I'm thankful for that. As I said, usually it's God plus something that we depend upon. But all we need is God. A preacher that I listened to on the radio some in the past, he said something like this. We really do not realize that God is all we need until God is all we have. Pretty good stuff. Some great things about prayer. First of all, the comfort of prayer. It's a personal thing. I mean, you're going to God. You're going to your God. Secondly, the clarity of prayer. He is to be the only one we lean upon. The third thing, the confidence in prayer. I read this, first time I read through this, I'm like, whoa. Do you realize that when you go to God, you can build confidence? Have you ever had a bad day? I mean, a bad day? I mean, like a really bad day? The word adds confidence and encouragement, right? But when you start praying to God and you get serious about it, it's not one of those little flippant, you know, God, I need your help type of thing. It's like, God, I really need your help. I'm having a really bad day. You know, people are throwing stones at me. People are saying mean things about me or whatever. You know, I got bad news on the phone, or this person really is grinding on me and I can't hardly take it anymore. You know, when you get serious and you go to God, notice what David said. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Huh. You know, whatever. I looked it up to make sure. I went back to the Hebrew. I have an online. I had Hebrew in class, and had a Hebrew scholar was my teacher. I mean, he's one of those guys that's like, whoo, he's way up there, and I'm like way down here. You know, as far as intelligence, you ever had any of those teachers? Like, wow. But he was brilliant. But I looked it up just to make sure that word greatly is really in there. Well, where did that come from? Is there actually a word greatly there? Yeah, there is. So he goes to God in the first of his prayer. Now he brags on him, my rock, my salvation, my defense. But he says, I shall not be greatly moved. I'm going to be moved a little bit, but not a lot. But go down to verse 6. Do you see his confidence building as he's praying? He says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. I mean, we're human. We're fallible, frail humans. Anybody here beyond any bigger than that? We're frail, fallible humans, right? And a lot of times when we go to God, it's kind of like, okay, God, I need you to work this out. Now, I'm not sure you're going to, but I really need you to work this out. But I really need you to. I'm not sure you're going to. But then as we pray a little bit more and we get a little bit more into our prayer, we're like, God, I know you're going to work this thing out. Isn't that good? The confidence in prayer. The confidence goes from, I will not be greatly moved, to I will not be moved. I remember in high school we had these football harness things. I mean, you had like two straps that went over your shoulders, and then a distance of the strap between you and the next guy who had straps, and he would put it over his shoulders, and you put it over your shoulders, and I'd get down in my football position, you know, like this. I wonder if I can still do this. Like this, and then I would try to go that way, and he's facing that way, and he tries to go that way. I never was really good at that because I wasn't that big. You said, preacher, you're pretty big right now. Okay, I weigh a lot more now than I did then. I'd done better at those drills if I weighed as much as I do now. But I was only like, I think the high school football program, I think I was 5'8 and 155 pounds. 155 pounds. If I could only get close to that again, you wouldn't even know me. But the point was, to move the other guy. And David, as he's praying, you know what? He's basically, in my brain, he's saying, hey, give me that there harness. Let me get the other side of the harness. You get your side of the harness. The power's all going to be mine. And they're not going to move you one little inch. Not even a half an inch. Not even a 32nd of an inch. I mean, isn't that good that our God can do that? I will not be moved. Wow. Because of God. I see not only the comfort of prayer, we're praying to a personal God. I see the clarity of prayer. Lord, you're it. You're only. You're the one. I want to clarify this, God. You're my only hope. I'm leaning on you. I'm not leaning on 100 different things. I'm leaning on you. Third, the confidence in prayer. He started out, I'll not be greatly moved. Then he said, I'm not going to be moved at all. Number four, are you ready for this? I told you this was coming. A good definition of prayer. You ready? The content of prayer. The content of prayer. Notice what it says in verse 8. The content of prayer. As best I could tell, a quick look at this phrase. As far as I know, this is the only place in Scripture. You may find it somewhere. As far as I know, at a quick perusal, this is the only place that prayer is defined this way in Scripture that I'm aware of. And this is really good. Are you ready? Are you awake, alert, and enthusiastic? Okay, verse 8. It says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Notice this. Pour out your heart before him. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Let's pause and think about that verse. Let's do that. Just pause and think about that verse. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. What is prayer? Pouring out your heart before God. Isn't that good? I mean, some people, when they first get saved, like, I just don't know how to pray. I just don't. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying, I really have a problem when people disrespect God. Or, well, you know, I'm praying to the man upstairs. Well, he's more than the man upstairs. Normally when I hear somebody say that, and maybe you've used that term, and I'm not picking on you, but usually when you hear somebody say, I'm all right with the man upstairs, that usually means you're not all right with the man upstairs. I mean, he's more than just the man upstairs. Or you go before God, oh, God, my buddy, I'm coming to you. Now, he is our buddy, but we need to respect and understand who God is. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It does matter what we pray. But a lot of times new Christians are like, I don't exactly know how to pray. Well, you really don't got to know how to pray other than just respect God. Come before his presence with fear, humbly, absolutely. But what does it say? It defines what prayer is. Pouring your heart out before God. Isn't it cool that he's such a friend? It's like, not like, oh, well, there goes that John again. Man, I wish he'd quit pouring his heart out to me. Or you know, just put any name in there. There's Larry again. He's poured his heart out to God. I wish he'd stop it. I mean, God's up there saying, you know, I love you. You know, you're a child of mine. And if it bothers you, it bothers me. So when you go to prayer, pour out your heart before God. Tell him what's bothering you. He already knows. You might as well tell him. Now, again, if it's something you don't understand, we don't go to God with an attitude and say, God, I can't believe you did this. You know, it's not like that. But God's a big enough God. If we say, God, this happened and I really don't get it. I'm pouring out my heart, God. I don't understand it. God, my heart is hurting. God, I'm about ready to quit moving forward. God, I got a big problem. God, pouring your heart out before God. That's good. That's important, don't you think? It not only makes you feel great, it makes God feel great that you have enough confidence to pour your heart out to him, right? Wow. Isn't that a good definition? Pouring your heart out before God. And when you do that, it's not really a matter of not asking God for things. I mean, you could ask God for things, absolutely, in relation to pouring your heart out to God, right? God, I'm not feeling too joyful right now. Would you please put some joy in my heart? Because I need a booster shot. Amen. I'm amazed as you read through the Psalms, David in particular, how honest he is before God. He's poured his heart out. I mean, how many times do you read through the book of Psalms and read the individual Psalms that David wrote in particular, and he starts out, Lord, I'm in a lot of trouble here. My enemies are about ready to kill me. You know, I need some help. Send it quick, Lord. Send it quick. I mean, he's pouring his heart out to God. Why should we pray any less? The content of prayer. There's no formal right way to pray. Pour your heart out to God. Again, I'll say, in case I get accused otherwise, I'm not saying you go to him out of disrespect or as an equal. You're not an equal to God, and you never will be God, and you'll never be equal to God. Y'all with me on that? So we need to go to him in respect and honor, absolutely. Recognize who he is. Never with an attitude as far as not respecting him as God. We can go to him with our questions. We can pour out our heart to God. We can say, Lord, I don't get this. I do that a lot. Do you ever go before God and say, God, I really don't understand this? I found myself making this statement quite a bit. God, I really don't understand you, but I do trust you. I do that a lot. Number 5, the comfort of prayer, and you're going to your personal God. He loves you. The God who made everything. Second, the clarity of prayer. We need to recognize that He's our only source of help. Only. Third, the confidence in prayer. If you'll make time to pray in your life, even in the midst of a terrible problem, I guarantee you your confidence by the time you get to the end of your prayer will be greatly strengthened. Again, David, through many of these, he starts out saying, Lord, I'm in trouble. Lord, I'm going to die. They're after me. Usually by the end of the psalm, his whole attitude has changed. We see it here, greatly moved. I won't be greatly moved. And he says, I'm not going to be moved at all. And he's not saying that because of his own strength. He's saying it because of the God that he serves. And number four, we just looked at the content of prayer. Pouring your heart out before God. That's probably one of the reasons it's a good idea to try to privately find your area of prayer, your prayer closet, if you will. Because you may not be comfortable doing that before anybody else, but if you're by yourself, you may find a tree that you go out under. Everybody may think you're crazy a little bit, but you go out under your tree and you just talk to God about it. You pour your heart out to God. Or you find a literal closet. That one movie that was put out, that Christian movie. What was that? War Room. She had a war room. And, she basically turned like a little closet, I think, at best I remember. Had these little sticky notes all over the wall where she would go to God in prayer and pour out her heart to God. And lastly, the capability of prayer, the capability of prayer. As he winds down this, he says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this. Now, I'm not sure where he heard this, where this came from, whether God in a revelation said this or whether he realizes this or whether in his family someone spoke up, someone wiser than him spoke up. It really doesn't give us a whole lot of background, but he says, I've heard this. Something I read said, basically what he's saying is, I've heard this a lot. I've heard it once, I've heard it twice, and that's the point. But this is good. The capability of prayer. Notice what it says. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Is there anything God can't do? It's amazing to me. It is amazing to me how Christians say they get this, but they don't get it. I mean, most of us say, sure, preacher. If I ask almost anybody that's ever sat in any of these pews, any time in the 7 years I've been here, do you believe that God can do anything? Oh, yes, sir, preacher. I believe God can do anything. But then it comes to showing it in their life by obeying what God wants you to do. And they said, no. God, I'm going to put you back in this little box. That's all you can do. You can't work outside. God is a whole lot bigger than any box you can try to put him in. David reminds himself that I've heard this and I know that power belongs unto God. I mean, seriously, you got a problem in your life that you see no solution to? Guess what? God has the solution. And God has the power to fix it, right? You say, I've been battling this relationship problem, God's got the solution. I've been battling this illness, God's got the solution. Can I tell you this? God's even got the solution to church problems. He's an all-powerful God. All we got to do is listen to Him, rely on His power, because power belongs unto God. I'm really thankful for that. If I had to rely on my power alone, we're all in trouble. I'm in trouble. You're in trouble. As your power, I'm not. What we got to do, we got to wake up and realize the power is not here. The power is there. God can do anything. So when God talks, we better listen to Him. And what He says to do, we better listen to, because God's got the power. But He says beyond that, I think this really goes with verse 11 and 12. You know, God has spoken once, twice. Number one, the power belongs to God. Secondly, that to God belongeth mercy. Boy, am I thankful for God's mercy. How many times have you gone before God's? I'm reminded was it the publican in Scripture? There was a Pharisee that went out and wanted to show everybody how spiritual he was. I'm thankful, God, that I'm not like everybody else. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. But then the publican, remember? Not the Republican, the publican or the tax collector. Remember, he wouldn't even look up to heaven. He mowed his face down on his chest, as best I remember the phraseology there. And he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord commends him and said he went home justified instead of the Pharisee. He went home justified or declared righteous, right? I don't know how many times I go before God and I say, God, please be merciful to me, a sinner. But guess what? God is merciful. I mean, when we completely mess things up, there may be consequences for us not doing it the way God wants us to do it. Absolutely. Y'all agree with that? But his mercy doesn't end. I mean, if it wasn't for God's mercy not ending, we'd be in a heap of trouble. So God be merciful to me, a sinner. It says the capability of prayer also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. You know, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, God says, I've already shown you mercy, right? Because you're saved. And you're going to mess up. You're going to sin against God. But I'm going to show you mercy when you come to me and say, Lord, forgive me. And he's going to show us mercy when we, the only way I'm going to heaven is God's mercy and his grace, right? And the only way I'm going to stay in heaven. Think about this. What if God's mercy just, God said, I've had enough. No more. The only way I'm going to stay in heaven is because of God's mercy being everlasting mercy. Right? I'm thankful. I'm thankful for his mercy. I thought this was, I got a kick, I got a tickle out of this. I got a kick out of this. Look at verse 9. He's talking about, you know, God says his power belongs to him and mercy belongs to him. But look at the comparison of verse 9. Surely men of low degree are vanity and men of high degree are a lie. So you got down and outers and up and inners. And it's talking about those that are trying to puff themselves up and say, guess what? I'm God's gift to this planet. I'm God's gift to the family of God. I'm God's gift to this church. Whatever. And notice what it says. I got a tickle out of this. I got a kick. It says, to be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. In other words, can you picture balance? I mean, a balance, you know, the kind of scale that has... And he said, you put it on there, and vanity is nothingness. So they're lighter than nothingness. They may be big feeling, but they're not big before God. In other words, compared to God, they're lightweights. I like that. Some people think, you know, one of my biggest struggles, one of my pet peeves is big feeling people. That have all the answers all the time. Just ask them. They'll tell you, I got all the answers all the time. Absolutely. Then the kind of people that come into the room, and if everybody wants to hear them or not, it doesn't matter because you're going to hear them because they're a big feeling somebody. Know-it-alls. You know, know. And God says, without God, you're still lighter than vanity. You're a lightweight. Woo! I thought that was kind of funny. It says some great things about prayer. You ready for this? I'm going to repeat it one more time. You ready? You ready? Say, uh-huh, if you're ready. Okay, some of you didn't say, uh-huh. Yeah, say, uh-huh, if you're ready. Uh-huh. Okay, less that time, I'm afraid to try it again. All right, some great things about prayer. Number one, the comfort of prayer. God is a personal God. God is a personal God. He's my God. He is my strength. He is my glory. Secondly, the clarity of prayer. If you tell God, you're it. You're the only thing I'm dependent on. I mean it from your heart. I think that means a lot to God, don't you? Third, the confidence in prayer. As you see the progression in the prayer, I shall not be greatly moved to I shall not be moved. So spend time in prayer when you're having those bad days, and I think you'll feel your very confidence in life. I mean, it's not about confidence in life, really. It's really about confidence in God. But your confidence and your attitude, you'll sense that it's getting better. Number four, the content of prayer. I really like what it says about what prayer is. Pouring your hearts out to God. God's a big God. He can handle it. And lastly, the capability of prayer. It says power and mercy belong to the Lord. Power, all power. Mercy belongs to God, and I'm thankful for both of those things. And compared to people that are down and outers or up and inners, they're lightweights compared to God. Let me ask you, how do you approach prayer in your life? How do you approach prayer in your life? If nothing else, I hope that you get some of the other points too, but if nothing else, I hope you see that you don't have to be a theologian to pray to God. Can I say you don't have to know all the right words to pray to God? You know, it seems to me that all we really got to remember, again, we need to respect who God is and honor who he is, but go before God and pour your heart out to God. And God is up there saying, yeah, I want to hear that. I'm your God. I'm an all-powerful God. I'm a God of mercy. And I want to hear what's on your heart. And guess what? He can whisper in her ear, I can fix it. I can fix it. Things that we wonder, how in the world, God says, no problem. I can fix it. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? And you may be here and you got a problem that is so big you don't have a clue how to fix it. I got some problems like that. I don't have a clue how to fix it. But would you take just a moment and pour your heart out to God silently in the moment? And tell him what you're feeling and what you're thinking and your struggles and just turn it over to God and say, God, here it is. God, here, I pour my heart out. Would you fix it? Would you fix it? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Bible. We thank you for these recorded words of David. Lord, we thank you for the awesome gift of prayer that we can come before you, pour out our hearts before you. And Lord, you are a God that's big enough, powerful enough, merciful enough, that Lord, you can fix it. Lord, I pray that if anyone's here tonight or anyone's listening in tonight by live stream who's never trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, maybe they could not say that I'm 100% sure that if I died tonight, I'm going to heaven. Lord, I pray that you'll work on them with your Holy Spirit, and I pray that from their heart, meaning it sincerely, they'll call out to you in prayer, God, and say something like this, Lord God, I'm a sinner. I've done things against you. Please forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus was your son, God, that came to this earth and died upon the cross to pay for my sins and then resurrected back to life. I confess Jesus as my Savior. Lord, I pray that a lot of people may have prayed that prayer right now, or wherever they are, wherever they may be listening. And Lord, if they meant that, Lord, they're saved as they ever will be if they meant it from their heart. We thank you for that. Lord, we again thank you for the awesome gift of prayer. Bless our church, Lord. May we see revival, increase, and souls saved. We commit that to you. You're a big God, and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.